Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Evening. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday night, January 19th. I'm Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, and I hope you are as ready as I am, fired up as I am, to continue bearing witness to the truth of the gospel, the growth of God's kingdom, and to this movement right here. For that president, right there behind me, and as he has always said, it's not about him, it's about us. It's not about him personally, it's about the good of America and the American people. We are working, we will continue working every single day to make America great again, to keep America based great, because we will work for the principles upon which America stands, and those principles shape and inspire all the policies and accomplishments of this great president, whose term constitutionally, and it's only because we're on a constitutional time clock here, expires tomorrow. But this movement doesn't expire. Our enthusiasm does not expire. Our work with side by side with Donald J. Trump does not expire. He'll do more once he's out of the White House for the good of America than Biden will ever do on a single day in the White House. And we're praying tonight in reparation for the damage that the Democrat Party does. And let me make this clear. I've made it clear before, but it bears repeating. When I criticize the Democrats, I know full well, I mean, I have friends and colleagues in the pro-life movement who are pro-life Democrats. I know that there are many people out there who are with us on the issues and with us in the fight to restore the right to life, just as one example, but identify themselves as Democrats. I'm not saying anything personally against you or judging you. The problem is we have a party that has gone off the track. Look at the platform. Compare the policies that the leaders in this party, starting with Biden and the congressional Democrats, look at the direction that they are going. Expanding the killing of babies and making us pay for it. Do you really believe in that? See, some people, they want to criticize me for criticizing them, but they don't want to criticize the party and say to it, you got to get out from these policies. Now, some people remain in the party precisely to try to reform the party. Good for you. I know a lot of people that do that. But the point is, understand what I'm saying when I say the Democrats. They understand it. They know full well what I'm talking about. And you know what? They know their sins too. Hatred of America, hatred of religion, suppression of the freedom of the church, killing of the unborn. They couldn't care less about the unborn. Destroying our freedoms, not caring about America being first. They don't want America to be first. They think there's something wrong with that. They hate our history. They rewrite our history. They tear up our Constitution. Are these things we're supposed to sit back and say we're okay with? Absolutely not. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about policies. Any particular person can change. And that's what we're all trying to do. We're all trying to change every day to become better and better and better. I have full confidence that anybody who is involved with these kinds of policies can come to the point by God's grace that they see the error of their ways. That's what we're trying to facilitate by praying about these things. We're trying to bring the grace of God into a situation where people can see the error of their ways and turn around and embrace the good. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to say a little prayer, which you can find at prayercampaign.org. And then after I say that prayer, I simply want to, in a prayerful spirit, share with you tonight two speeches, one by our wonderful First Lady and one by our wonderful President, summing up their gratitude to you and to me for what they've been enabled to do in these last 4 years. You're going to enjoy these speeches if you haven't seen them already. I want to invite you to share them with others and learn from them and take courage and take inspiration from them. Because as you will hear our president say, and as you have heard and will hear me say again and again, our work to make America great has only just begun. This movement that President Trump started is greater than him, greater and longer than his presidency. So let's pray. And again, you can find this prayer at prayercampaign.org. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, you are the ruler of nations, and in your providence you guide the course of world events. In your wisdom, you have established civil authority and have given us the freedom to elect our leaders. Your Son, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has instructed us to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Your word furthermore instructs us to pray for all in authority, that we may lead peaceful and tranquil lives in all godliness and devotion. We ask you therefore, O Lord, to bless and protect all who govern us. We pray not only that they will walk in the way of salvation, but that their decisions and policies may protect us, our nation, our families, and our future. In particular, bless President Donald J. Trump. Give him holy wisdom, surround him with your angels of protection, and provide him the strength to carry out his duties each day. We thank you for the strength you have given him to fulfill his oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And we thank you for all the good you have accomplished through his service. Thank you for the commitment he has shown and the progress he made to eliminate corruption from the seat of power in Washington, D.C., to secure the borders and strengthen the military of our nation, to frustrate those who plan terrorist attacks on our homeland, to foster law and order in our communities, to protect our citizens from the China virus, to restore and strengthen our economy, to promote honesty and fairness in our trade agreements, to appoint to our courts judges who will faithfully apply our Constitution and laws as they are written, to defend the lives of the unborn from the violence of abortion, to improve our healthcare system, to properly care for our veterans, to defend the sacred heritage and safety of Israel and the good of all our allies, and to promote and defend the freedom of all citizens in the United States and throughout the world to live according to their religious beliefs. Lord, send your spirit to our president, that he may glorify you in every success and find consolation from you in every sorrow. Protect his family and enable him to continue to work each day along with the tens of millions who support him to make America great again. Father, we trust in your providence, which from its founding has guided and blessed the United States of America. Grant that this trust may grow and be rewarded as we live our calling to be good citizens on earth and faithful citizens of your heavenly kingdom. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's listen to our great First Lady.
My fellow Americans, it has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as First Lady of the United States. I have been inspired by incredible Americans across our country who lift up our communities through their kindness and courage, goodness and grace. The past 4 years have been unforgettable. As Donald and I conclude our time in the White House, I think of all of the people I have taken home in my heart and their incredible stories of love, patriotism, and determination. I see the faces of brave young soldiers who have told me with their pride in their eyes how much they love serving this country. To every service member and to our incredible military families, you are heroes, and you will always be in my thoughts and prayers. I think of all of the members of law enforcement who greet us everywhere we go. At every hour of every day, they stand guard to keep our communities safe, and we are forever in their debt. I have been moved by children I have visited in hospitals and foster care centers. even as they fight difficult illnesses or face challenges, they bring such a joy to everyone they meet. I remember the mothers who have battled the disease of opioid addiction and have overcome incredible hardships for love of their children. I have been inspired by the devoted caregivers for babies born with neonatal absence syndrome and communities that give these children the support and care they need to grow. When I think about these meaningful experiences, I'm humbled to have had the opportunity to represent a nation with such kind and generous people. As the world continues to confront the COVID-19 pandemic, I thank all of the nurses, doctors, healthcare professionals, manufacturing workers, truck drivers, and so many others who are working to save lives. We grieve for the families who have lost a loved one due to the pandemic. Every life is precious, and I ask all Americans to use caution and common sense to protect the vulnerable as millions of vaccines are now being delivered. In the midst of hardship, we have seen the best of America shine through. Students have made cards and delivered groceries to our senior citizens. Teachers have worked twice as hard to keep our children learning. Families have come together to provide meals, supplies, comfort, and friendship to those in need. Be passionate in everything you do, but always remember that violence is never the answer and will never be justified. When I came to the White House, I reflected on the responsibility I have always felt as a mother to encourage, give strength, and teach values of kindness. It is our duty as adults and parents to ensure that children have the best opportunities to lead fulfilling and healthy lives. The passion for helping children succeed has driven my policy initiatives as First Lady. I launched Be Best to ensure that we as Americans are doing all we can to take care of the next generation. Be Best has concentrated on three pillars: well-being, online safety, and opioid abuse. In a few short years, I have raised awareness of how to keep children safe online. We have made incredible progress on our nation's drug epidemic and how it impacts the lives of newborns and families. And we have given a voice to our most vulnerable children in their foster care system. Internationally, Be Best has evolved into a platform that encourages world leaders to discuss issues impacting the lives of children and allows them to share solutions. It has been an honor to represent the American people abroad. I treasure each of my experiences and the inspiring people I have met along the way. As I say farewell to my role as First Lady, it is my sincere hope that every American will do their part to teach our children what it means to be best. I encourage parents to educate your children about the courageous and selfless heroes who worked and sacrificed to make this country the land of the free, and to lead by example and care for others in your community. The promise of this nation belongs to all of us. Do not lose sight of your integrity and values. Use every opportunity to show consideration for another person and build good habits into your daily lives. In all circumstances, I ask every American to be an ambassador of Be Best. To focus on what unites us, to raise above what divides us. To always choose love over hatred, peace over violence, and others before yourself. Together, as one national family, we can continue to be the light of hope for future generations. and carry on America's legacy of rising our nation to greater heights through our spirit of courage, goodness, and faith. No words can express the depth of my gratitude for the privilege of having served as your first lady. To all the people of this country, you will be in my heart forever. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
There are many reasons to be proud to be an American, and that First Lady is one of them. Don't you agree? What a wonderful person. What a wonderful job that she has done in that role. And what a wonderful example for the future. For any young woman or young man, for that matter, who wants to serve in public office, this is one of the great effects of an administration as great as this administration has been, that they give that positive encouragement to people, that they can serve with dignity, with love, make America more and more respected. And that's what we want to pray, that God preserves that respect that America has around the world, that has grown tremendously. While Melania has been our First Lady, while President Trump has been our president, the respect for America has only grown. And we pray in reparation tonight for those things that the Democrat Party and their policies have imposed on America in various ways that make that respect go down. We saw in, I have it right here, the President's proclamation that I read for you last night about National Sanctity of Life Day, which is coming up this Friday, the 22nd. He says, in Washington, some are fighting to keep the United States among a small handful of nations, including North Korea and China, that allow elective abortions after 20 weeks. Yeah, it's a small handful of nations that allow that. Why should we be in that bad company? This kind of thing makes people disrespect America. I have been in rooms with leaders from other countries where, under the previous administration, Obama, Biden, have, to the point of tears and anger, have been saying, why do you want our countries to change our laws on abortion? Because you see, one of the things Biden wants to do upon first coming in, and these things we have to proclaim from the rooftops and let people know the harm and just offensive natures of these policies. One of the things he wants to do is to make sure that when we go and help other countries to educate and feed their children and give them good health care, that we also encourage those countries to kill their children by abortion. There's no need for this. And that does not make America respected when we start pushing those kinds of policies on the rest of the world. But, you know, one of the things Biden may do as soon as he's takes office is to reverse the policy that protects our taxpayer dollars from going to organizations overseas that perform or promote baby killing by abortion. They're not going to do this without us raising our voices and making sure that everybody who did not know about this, you see, because this is what happens. They work in the shadows. They do these things, and people don't know about it. Be interesting to see if Biden tries to reverse the executive order that President Trump put in place, strengthening our nation's laws that protect babies that are born alive after a failed abortion. Now we're talking about babies that are outside the womb. President Trump strengthened the protection for those babies. And it'll be interesting to see if the other side tries to reverse that. We've got to be there raising our voices loud and clear. Well, now I want to let you hear from our president, the speech that he made today. If you saw it, even if you did see it, let's watch it again, because we need to know backwards and forwards the things that he's about to say as he summarizes the great accomplishments some of the great accomplishments of this administration. We need to know it. We need to proclaim it from the rooftops. We need to defend it. And we start by, again, listening to him summarize it in his own words and with gratitude for all that has been done. Let's listen.
My fellow Americans,
four years ago, we launched a great national effort to rebuild our country, to renew its spirit, and to restore the allegiance of this government to its citizens. In short, we embarked on a mission to make America great again for all Americans. As I conclude my term as the 45th President of the United States, I stand before you truly proud of what we have achieved together. We did what we came here to do, and so much more. This week, we inaugurate a new administration and pray for its success in keeping America safe and prosperous. We extend our best wishes, and we also want them to have luck, a very important word. I'd like to begin by thanking just a few of the amazing people who made our remarkable journey possible. First, let me express my overwhelming gratitude for the love and support of our spectacular First Lady, Melania. Let me also share my deepest appreciation to my daughter, Ivanka, my son-in-law, Jared, and to Baron, Don, Eric, Tiffany, and Lara. You fill my world with light and with joy. I also want to thank Vice President Mike Pence, his wonderful wife, Karen, and the entire Pence family. Thank you as well to my Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, the dedicated members of the White House staff, and the cabinet, and all of the incredible people across our administration who poured out their heart and soul to fight for America. I also want to take a moment to thank a truly exceptional group of people, the United States Secret Service. My family and I will forever be in your debt. My profound gratitude as well to everyone in the White House military office, the teams of Marine One and Air Force One, every member of the armed forces, and state and local law enforcement all across our country. Most of all, I want to thank the American people. To serve as your president has been an honor beyond description. Thank you for this extraordinary privilege, and that's what it is, a great privilege and a great honor. We must never forget that while Americans will always have our disagreements, we are a nation of incredible, decent, faithful, and peace-loving citizens who all want our country to thrive and flourish and be very, very successful and good. We are a truly magnificent nation. All Americans were horrified by the assault on our Capitol. Political violence is an attack on everything we cherish as Americans. It can never be tolerated. Now more than ever, we must unify around our shared values and rise above the partisan rancor and forge our common destiny. 4 years ago, I came to Washington as the only true outsider ever to win the presidency. I had not spent my career as a politician, but as a builder looking at open skylines and imagining infinite possibilities. I ran for president because I knew there were towering new summits for America just waiting to be scaled. I knew the potential for our nation was boundless as long as we put America first. So I left behind my former life and stepped into a very difficult arena, but an arena nevertheless with all sorts of potential if properly done. America had given me so much and I wanted to give something back. Together with millions of hardworking patriots across this land, we built the greatest political movement in the history of our country. We also built the greatest economy in the history of the world. It was about America first because we all wanted to make America great again. We restored the principle that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Our agenda was not about right or left. It wasn't about Republican or Democrat, but about the good of a nation. And that means the whole nation. With the support and prayers of the American people, we achieved more than anyone thought possible. Nobody thought we could even come close. We passed the largest package of tax cuts and reforms in American history. We slashed more job-killing regulations than any administration had ever done before. We fixed our broken trade deals, withdrew from the horrible Trans-Pacific Partnership and the impossible Paris Climate Accord, renegotiated the one-sided South Korea deal, and we replaced NAFTA with the groundbreaking USMCA, that's Mexico and Canada, a deal that's worked out very, very well. Also, and very importantly, we imposed historic and monumental tariffs on China, made a great new deal with China. But before the ink was even dry, we and the whole world got hit with the China virus. Our trade relationship was rapidly changing. Billions and billions of dollars were pouring into the U.S., but the virus forced us to go in a different direction. The whole world suffered, but America outperformed other countries economically because of our incredible economy and the economy that we built. Without the foundations and footings, it wouldn't have worked out this way. We wouldn't have some of the best numbers we've ever had. We also unlocked our energy resources and became the world's number one producer of oil and natural gas by far. Powered by these policies, we built the greatest economy in the history of the world. We reignited America's job creation and achieved record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women, almost everyone. Income soared, wages boomed, the American dream was restored, and millions were lifted from poverty in just a few short years. It was a miracle. Stock market set one record after another with 148 stock market highs during this short period of time and boosted the retirements and pensions of hardworking citizens all across our nation. 401ks are at a level they've never been at before. We've never seen numbers like we've seen, and that's before the pandemic and after the pandemic. We rebuilt the American manufacturing base, opened up thousands of new factories, and brought back the beautiful phrase, made in the USA. To make life better for working families, we doubled the child tax credit and signed the largest ever expansion of funding for child care and development. We joined with the private sector to secure commitments to train more than 16 million American workers for the jobs of tomorrow. When our nation was hit with the terrible pandemic, we produced not one, but two vaccines with record-breaking speed, and more will quickly follow. They said it couldn't be done, but we did it. They called it a medical miracle, and that's what they're calling it right now, a medical miracle. Another administration would have taken 3, 4, 5, maybe even up to 10 years to develop a vaccine. We did it in 9 months. We grieve for every life lost, and we pledge in their memory to wipe out this horrible pandemic once and for all. When the virus took its brutal toll on the world's economy, we launched the fastest economic recovery our country has ever seen. We passed nearly $4 trillion in economic relief, saved or supported over 50 million jobs, and slashed the unemployment rate in half. These are numbers that our country has never seen before. We created choice and transparency in healthcare, stood up to Big Pharma in so many ways, but especially in our effort to get favored nations clauses added, which will give us the lowest prescription drug prices anywhere in the world. We passed VA choice, VA accountability, right to try, and landmark criminal justice reform. We confirmed 3 new justices of the United States Supreme Court. We appointed nearly 300 federal judges to interpret our Constitution as written. For years, the American people pleaded with Washington to finally secure the nation's borders. I am pleased to say we answered that plea and achieved the most secure border in U.S. history. We have given our brave border agents and heroic ICE officers the tools they need to do their jobs better than they have ever done before, and to enforce our laws and keep America safe. We proudly leave the next administration with the strongest and most robust border security measures ever put into place. This includes historic agreements with Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, along with more than 450 miles of powerful new wall. We restored American strength at home and American leadership abroad. The world respects us again. Please don't lose that respect. We reclaimed our sovereignty by standing up for America at the United Nations and withdrawing from the one-sided global deals that never served our interests. And NATO countries are now paying hundreds of billions of dollars more than when I arrived just a few years ago. It was very unfair. We were paying the cost for the world. Now the world is helping us. And perhaps most importantly of all, with nearly $3 trillion, we fully rebuilt the American military, all made in the USA. We launched the first new branch of the United States Armed Forces in 75 years, the Space Force. And last spring, I stood at Kennedy Space Center in Florida and watched as American astronauts returned to space on American rockets for the first time in many, many years. We revitalized our alliances and rallied the nations of the world to stand up to China like never before. We obliterated the ISIS caliphate and ended the wretched life of its founder and leader, al-Baghdadi. We stood up to the oppressive Iranian regime and killed the world's top terrorist, Iranian butcher Qasem Soleimani. We recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. As a result of our bold diplomacy and principled realism, we achieved a series of historic peace deals in the Middle East. Nobody believed it could happen. The Abraham Accords opened the doors to a future of peace and harmony, not violence and bloodshed. It is the dawn of a new Middle East, and we are bringing our soldiers home. I am especially proud to be the first president in decades who has started no new wars. Above all, we have reasserted the sacred idea that in America, the government answers to the people. Our guiding light, our North Star, our unwavering conviction has been that we are here to serve the noble, everyday citizens of America. Our allegiance is not to the special interests, corporations, or global entities. It's to our children, our citizens, and to our nation itself. As president, my top priority, my constant concern, has always been the best interests of American workers and American families. I did not seek the easiest course. By far, it was actually the most difficult. I did not seek the path that would get the least criticism. I took on the tough battles, the hardest fights, the most difficult choices, because that's what you elected me to do. Your needs were my first and last unyielding focus. This, I hope, will be our greatest legacy. Together, we put the American people back in charge of our country. We restored self-government. We restored the idea that in America, no one is forgotten because everyone matters and everyone has a voice. We fought for the principle that every citizen is entitled to equal dignity, equal treatment, and equal rights, because we are all made equal by God. Everyone is entitled to be treated with respect, to have their voice heard, and to have their government listen. You are loyal to your country, and my administration was always loyal to you. We worked to build a country in which every citizen could find a great job and support their wonderful families. We fought for the communities where every American could be safe and schools where every child could learn. We promoted a culture where our laws would be upheld, our heroes honored, our history preserved, and law-abiding citizens are never taken for granted. Americans should take tremendous satisfaction in all that we have achieved together. It's incredible. Now, as I leave the White House, I have been reflecting on the dangers that threaten the priceless inheritance we all share. As the world's most powerful nation, America faces constant threats and challenges from abroad. But the greatest danger we face is a loss of confidence in ourselves, a loss of confidence in our national greatness. A nation is only as strong as its spirit. We are only as dynamic as our pride. We are only as vibrant as the faith that beats in the hearts of our people. No nation can long thrive that loses faith in its own values, history, and heroes. For these are the very sources of our unity and our vitality. What has always allowed America to prevail and triumph over the great challenges of the past has been an unyielding and unashamed conviction in the nobility of our country and its unique purpose in history. We must never lose this conviction. We must never forsake our belief in America. The key to national greatness lies in sustaining and instilling our shared national identity. That means focusing on what we have in common, the heritage that we all share. At the center of this heritage is also a robust belief in free expression, free speech, and open debate. Only if we forget who we are and how we got here could we ever allow political censorship and blacklisting to take place in America. It's not even thinkable. Shutting down free and open debate violates our core values and most enduring traditions. In America, we don't insist on absolute conformity or enforce rigid orthodoxies and punitive speech codes. We just don't do that. America is not a timid nation of tame souls who need to be sheltered and protected from those with whom we disagree. That's not who we are. It will never be who we are. For nearly 250 years, in the face of every challenge, Americans have always summoned our unmatched courage, confidence, and fierce independence. These are the miraculous traits that once led millions of everyday citizens to set out across a wild continent and carve out a new life in the Great West. It was the same profound love of our God-given freedom that willed our soldiers into battle and our astronauts into space. As I think back on the past 4 years, one image rises in my mind above all others. Whenever I traveled all along the motorcade route, there were thousands and thousands of people. They came out with their families so that they could stand as we passed and proudly wave our great American flag. It never failed to deeply move me. I knew that they did not just come out to show their support of me. They came out to show me their support and love for our country. This is a republic of proud citizens who are united by our common conviction that America is the greatest nation in all of history. We are and must always be a land of hope, of light, and of glory to all the world. This is the precious inheritance that we must safeguard at every single turn. For the past 4 years, I have worked to do just that. From a great hall of Muslim leaders in Riyadh to a great square of Polish people in Warsaw, from the floor of the Korean Assembly to the podium at the United Nations General Assembly, and from the Forbidden City in Beijing to the shadow of Mount Rushmore, I fought for you, I fought for your family, I fought for our country. Above all, I fought for America and all it stands for, and that is safe, strong, proud, and free. Now, as I prepare to hand power over to a new administration at noon on Wednesday, I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. Our communities will flourish. Our people will be prosperous. Our traditions will be cherished. Our faith will be strong. And our future will be brighter than ever before. I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come. Thank you and farewell. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
My fellow Americans, for
the best president, and those who don't realize that, boy, have they missed right before their eyes a moment in American history that will be written about not just for decades, but for centuries. It's up to us to have that same spirit of joyful service and optimism, of conviction that the best is yet to come, and of conviction that the movement that he started with us and for us has only just begun. You see the spirit in which he is speaking, brothers and sisters. Let's spread this address. We're going to air it repeatedly. We're going to have it up there on YouTube. We're also going to have, as I saw one person asking about, the accomplishments video posted as its own video there on our YouTube channel. FR Frank Pavone is our YouTube channel. Some of you are watching on that channel right now. All these videos, we've only just begun to spread this information. And anybody out there who doesn't like President Trump or who's too blind to see that he's the best president that we've had in our lifetimes, well, you are, boy, are you going to be surprised that he is not leaving the scene. He is not going into the shadows. We are going to see to it that he will be front and center. The accomplishments that he just cataloged and summarized for us, we've only just begun to make them known. We've only just begun to defend them. We've only just begun to build on them. Brothers and sisters, the best is yet to come. Have no doubt. This movement transcends any individual president, any individual administration. We are going to be working day and night without rest. Day and night, like Sandy is saying, we ain't seen nothing yet. Mark my words, mark the president's words. Have no doubt. And with that, I leave you tonight, friends, with a blessing. Let's share this with everybody that we know. And we'll be back to talk with you tomorrow. May the Lord bless you, strengthen you, protect you, answer all your prayers, and make you strong advocates for America, for this president, for the kingdom of God, for the unborn, and for all that is right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Have a good night.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.